punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land, It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. She's a little chilly out there today. The winds are up pretty good. The humidity's lowered quite a bit. Let's see. Basically, we're in the 40s, northwestern Oklahoma, basically from Cheyenne up towards Cherokee and everything north of there. And west of there is in the 30s. Woodward, you're 35. Looks like you're the cool spot in the state right now. 40 at Eric, 45 at Hollis, 43 at Hobart, Oklahoma, 40 at Hinton, 37 at Sealing, and 38 at Putnam, home of B&L Red Angus. All right, let's see. Let's see what the winds are doing real quick. We got a whole hour. We can talk about this. Looks like, man, it's coming. Up there in the panhandle, it's anywhere from 30 to 40 miles an hour with gust up to 40 plus. Slap out, 28 miles an hour wind, 40 mile an hour gust. Cheyenne, you're at 19 miles an hour, 26 mile an hour gust. Mangum, 15 with gust up to 20. Just heading in there. It's going to calm down a little bit tonight, but it's going to get right back up tomorrow. So same thing tomorrow as far as the wind conditions. See what the dew point and humidity is looking like. Yeah, the north wind brought in some lower humidity. Basically, we're all in the 40s right now, 30s in the panhandle. It's still 90% humidity down there in a very southeastern part of Oklahoma. All right, so let's check out what happened last night in the big world of ag. Soybean and grain futures were lower in overnight trading amid favorable growing conditions in Brazil, and as vessel traffic out of the Ukraine improves after attacks left port cities without power. In Brazil, the world's largest exporter of soybeans, rains narrowed crop stress, which is unlikely to exceed about 15% of the country's soybean, corn, and sugar crops in the next couple weeks. Wheat and corn futures were lower as grain shipments from Ukraine resumed after being halted for a day due to blackouts caused by the Russian attacks on the country's infrastructure. Nine vessels left out of there yesterday, Odessa port, that is, according to data from the United Nations. Three left Odessa, all bound for Italy, three headed for Spain, and three headed for Romania, Spain, Turkey, China, just going everywhere. Wheat prices were also lower overnight as rain this week curbed dryness to a quarter of the U.S. hard red winter wheat. Still, the forecaster said, extremely cold weather forecasts in the Central Plains and Western Midwest will raise winter keel risk as snowfall only offers spotty protection. Soybean futures for January delivery fell 6.25 to 14.73.5 a bushel on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was up $1.40 to 4.53.70, while soy oil lost 45 to 63.67 a pound. Wheat futures for March delivery dropped 7.25 cents to 7.43.5 a bushel, while Kansas City wheat was down 11 cents to 8.54 1/4 a bushel. Corn for March delivery fell 4 cents to $6.49.5 a bushel. All right, winter weather. I don't know if you guys have looked this up, the storm up on the radar this morning, but this is a huge storm. It looks like a big hurricane. If you look it up on radar, the eye of it looks like it's in eastern South Dakota or western Minnesota. This is a big storm with blizzards up north, tornadoes down south, and it's still getting it right now. Winter storms are still hammering the western Corn Belt and northern plains as snow, ice, and wind have closed interstates and made travel treacherous, according to the National Weather Service. In western Nebraska and South Dakota, blizzard warnings are in effect through tomorrow evening. Snow accumulations up to 20 inches are likely, with some localized areas receiving more than 2 feet. Winds are forecast to gust up to 55 miles per hour. Can you imagine going out there and feeding some cows today? A powerful system continues to produce heavy snow, blizzard conditions, and areas with a wintry mix across the North and South Plains. Interstate 90, I've been down that thing a few times, in South Dakota, closed yesterday, and this morning was seeing drifting snow with near zero visibility, according to the state's transportation department. Winter storm warnings are in effect for much of North Dakota, the eastern half of South Dakota, where blizzard warnings haven't been issued, north central Minnesota, and almost all of Wisconsin. In central Minnesota, 5 to 8 inches of snow are expected by the time this storm ends along tomorrow, and probably going to get another light glazing of ice there also. Anyway. Winter's here. And matter of fact, what are we, 12, 14? We're, 7 days away from the official start of winter, and I think it's going to hit here. I don't see any snow or anything in our forecast so far. It's still quite a ways away for Christmas, but it's going to be chilly. How about that? Let's check out what the live prices are right now. Corn, $6.39. It's down almost $5 today for December. March is $6.51. May is also $6.51. Soybeans are up $14.84, $14.88 for March, $14.91 for May. Soybean meal, December $4.50 even. January $4.58.60. And March is $4.54.60. Hard red winter wheat, December $8.83. It's up $3 today, actually, but March is down a lot. It's at $8.50. It's down almost $15. Oats just hanging in there. We're even, probably. Nothing to talk about there. December's $3.61. March is $3.54. Cotton, March, it's up today a little bit. It's at 81 cents, and May is also 81 cents. What's oil doing today? Oil's up a couple dollars at $77.46 for West Texas Intermediate crude. Natural gas gone down a little bit today. It's at $6.38, so I'm sure it's going to be going back up with this big winter storm going across the nation now and another one coming in next week. Looks like the markets are all in the green today, the S&P, the NASDAQ, and Dow futures. When I come back, we will talk a little bit about our cattle market, what's going on with it real quick, and I'll talk about what happened yesterday at the Woodward Stockyards. They didn't have a lot up there. It looks like the cows and the bulls were down considerably yesterday. They didn't hit rock bottom. They were down a lot compared to what was happening at Elk City and Hollis and Clinton the last three sales up until yesterday. So we'll see what's going on. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
They're built better. They're tough. It's heavier steel, rubber flooring. They're framed in differently. Their tires come 18 ply. You could drive through a mesquite patch. These things are just built to use out in the thick of things. If you're going to catch a cow out in the middle of a section, you're going to drag a huge trailer out there to her. Farmers and ranchers love huge trailers, and we've got them. Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, December 12th. For all you great stewards of the land, I'm Drew Cobb. 1,333 head were sold. 8 head of steers at 415 brought 220. 4 at 481 brought 212. 15 at 577 brought 197. 3 at 588 brought 165. 60 at 728 brought 189. 15 at 745 brought 155. 4 at 763 brought 177. 8 head of heifers at 429 brought 199. 6 at 479 brought 180. 10 at 513 brought 164. 7 at 559 brought 159. 5 at 642 brought 155. 7 at 704 brought 167. 38 at 709 brought 165.75. Butcher cows were 10 to 80 and a half. Butcher bulls brought 83 to 94. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. And sign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Attention high school juniors and seniors. Western Equipment is hosting their annual Ag Tech Invitational on January 14th at our store in Plainview, Texas. Sign up to compete for a chance to win $60,000 in scholarships and $30,000 in prizes. This competition is open to any high school junior or senior interested in mechanics, agriculture, or just winning prizes. Parents and teachers, don't feel left out. You can tour our career expo to learn all about John Deere, Western Equipment, and other job opportunities within the company. Spots are limited, so register today at west-equip.com/competition.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right. Currently at the Gabe Gadget Mezzanet Center here in our studio in Elk City, looks like we have 39.7 degrees, 44% humidity, and about 11-mile-an-hour wind out of the north. Okay. Hey, I've been seeing this, and I wanted to pass this along in case some of you guys don't listen to Tradio. Where'd it go? Hang on here. Back to it. It says I have somebody looking for some Longhorn bulls, and I always know somebody is. Where'd it go? Oh, there we go. 821-4114 is the number. If you're looking for some Longhorn bulls, this person has 2 registered Longhorn bulls for sale right here in Elk City. He said text him or call him, and he'll send you pictures, or say them. I don't know if it's a he or him. But anyway, 580-339-2876 or 821-4114 if you'd like to look at some registered or buy some registered Longhorn bulls. There you go. Text line is open. If you didn't get that number, I'll text it to you. 5 cattle this morning already is in the red. Everything's in the red with the livestock. December's 154.72. February's 155.85. April 159.67. June live cattle 155.90. Feeder cattle for January is 183.97. March is 185.55. Lean hogs for December is 82.17, and February is 83.30. April is $90.57 for lean hogs. All right, let's see what happened at Woodward yesterday. Looks like he had 572 head. Last week he had 768, and a year ago he had 1,069 head go through the ring there at Woodward. Here's a special note he's got on here. There will be one more feeder sale on December 15th coming up tomorrow, and one more cow sale on December 20th, and that's it for Woodward. First sale next year will be a feeder calf sale on the 5th of January. So tomorrow is the last one for feeder calves, and next Tuesday will be the last cow and bull sale. All right. Compared to last week, slaughter cows were $3 to $5 lower. Bulls were $2 to $4 higher. Demand was moderate. Supply included 10% feeder cattle, 64% slaughter cattle, 26% replacement cattle. So they had a pretty good range on anybody wanting to buy some replacement cattle yesterday. Breaker cows, looks like you had about 20 or 30 head, and they were averaging anywhere from 1297 to 1575 on weights, and they were bringing anywhere from 7150 all the way up to 7950. Boner cows, looks like you had quite a few of those, about 70 head there, and they ranged anywhere from 1166 to 1404 on weights, and price range on boner cows was anywhere from 62 to 77 cents. On lean cows, looks like you had about 50 head there, and they ranged from anywhere from 929 on weight to 1210 was the heaviest I see on the report here. And prices was anywhere from $45.30 a pound or 100 weight to $63.19, and that was on lean cows. Bulls, he only had about 16, 17 head there yesterday, and they ranged anywhere from weight-wise, 1756 to 1963, and prices was anywhere from average price was $80 to $94 there, and that was the average. Bred cows, 5 to 8 year olds. He had some that were medium and large, $1,000, $1,025. Medium large number ones, bred cows in the 2 to 4 year old range was bringing up to $1,400, and had some in here that was 5 to 8 year olds was bringing up to almost $1,500 a head, and had some older ones 8 plus, and it was anywhere from $832 to $950 a piece. And then bred cows, medium and large number ones to twos, 2 to 4 year olds was bringing up to $1,075, and the older ones was bringing up to $900. On the pairs, we had some medium and large number ones with 150 pound calves, 2 to 4 year olds was bringing $1,550. Cow-calf pairs on medium and large number ones with calves 150 to 300 pounds were bringing anywhere from $1,400 to almost $1,600 bucks, $1,575 to be exact. Some of them brought up to $1,650, but the average ended up being almost $1,500. And then had some young ones here, 2 to 8 year old cow-calf pairs, medium and large number ones with 300 pound plus calves brought $1,511. And then what we got here? Medium and large 1 to 2 weight, 150 to 300 pound calves on it, 2 to 4 year olds was bringing 1,225 head. I know I'm a little late getting this information out here. Had a lot going on this week, but I wanted to make sure that I got her covered. Let me bring it up here on my phone. It's easier to do that. Here we go. So, nope, let's not do that. Bear with me here a second. Let me get through all the crap. And then we got, there we go. I got it here. Here we go. All right. Man, congratulations, big congratulations out to Benny Butler and Butler Brothers and Sons. They did really well this year. They pulled off something that has never been done in the sport of professional rodeo ever. The Wrangler NFR concluded this past Saturday with the 10th round. Bucking stock from the PRCA Pro Rodeo Stock Contractors is selected to perform in Las Vegas every year for the biggest 10 days in the rodeo. Over 300 head of livestock athletes, and that's what they are, they're athletes, performed inside the Thomas & Mack Bucking underneath the best rodeo athletes in the world. At the conclusion of the NFR, top stock awards are given to those animals who were the best in their respective events during the NFR. Benny and Rhett Butler, Butler & Son Company, rodeo company were awarded top stock in the NFR in all three rough stock events. Top bareback, Ghost Town, and of course, top saddle bronc, Killer Bee. She's been retired, and she was rode by Dawson Hay in round 9 for 92 points. Top bull, Smokestack, also crowned 2022 PRC Bull of the Year. The stock contracting company firm from Elk City has been taking livestock to the NFR for many years. I know they've been taking it since probably before I was born, but anyway, long time, and had a showing of a lifetime in 2022. So again, congratulations to the Butler Brothers and Son Livestock Company right here just out of Elk City, right here north of town. On your way to Hammond. Anyway, great job, Benny and Rhett. Way to go. All I can tell you is that congratulations again. That's quite an accomplishment to do all three of those in 1 year. So when we come back, I'll talk some more, a little bit about cattle. I got some information on applying nitrogen to your wheat. And what else we got? We got all kinds of stuff coming up. Anyway, got a report from a young lady out of California on what's happening with the workforce new law that the Senate is trying to pass right now. And that's it for right now. You guys know that Wednesdays is the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour every Wednesday. Supply chain issues continues to be an obstacle in our everyday lives, and it is. Lack of availability of items you need to be in becoming a regular occurrence. Buying ahead and stocking up is one way to bridge that gap. If you are one that likes to keep your freezer full during these times, Taylor Ranch can help with that. They have quarter, half, and whole beef available for sale. They develop every animal as if it were going to be served on their own table. Third-party verified, all-natural, and hormone-free beef also available. That's Taylor Ranch Beef. Call Mr. Jimmy Taylor at 405-609-4662. 405-609-4662. And again, Tracy and Jimmy, thank you for sponsoring the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour on the Day in Ag every Wednesday. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Farming is the greatest family business in America. It's teamwork between fathers and sons, mothers and daughters. Generation after generation of families working together to provide our local area with the food we need to live and grow our local economy. We owe a lot to our local farmers and ranchers. We're proud to be your bank. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre. Together we grow. Online at fnbec.bank.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with HiPro. For HiPro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
Mickey will go to bat for you. Anytime you've got a problem or, you know, a question, he's Johnny on the spot. If he doesn't know, he calls up higher to get it figured out. And we've got tractors insured, balers, combines, swathers, cattle, hay, home, anything you can think of, he's got it. And he's been called a few times. Mickey is really good about coming to see what you need. you know, he'll come to where you are to get your signature or go over something that he's run into a problem. You know, you can't beat that because we live 18 miles from his office. So it helps when he's willing to come to the house. He's done, you know, just whatever he needs to do, he'll be there.
I'm Jill Duresha, and I'm a farmer and rancher in Southwest Oklahoma.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Wouldn't it be great to partner with a feed company that knows all about the cattle industry? A company that owns and raises cattle themselves? A company that knows the blood, sweat, and tears you put into the operation every day? That company is Hobart Farm and Garden. They are your local High Pro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts, from gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bags. Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
-39 degrees. Let's do Beaver, Oklahoma today for your northwestern Oklahoma and northeastern Texas panhandle and a little bit of Kansas up there. 39 degrees right now at Beaver with the wind chills at 28. The winds are out of the northwest at 26 miles an hour with the wind gust up to 37 to 40 miles an hour. Humidity is 36%. Today, 44 for a high. Tonight, 20 for a low. 42 tomorrow, 17 tomorrow night. It just don't look like it improves much. 39 for a high on Friday, 14 for a low Friday night, and 45 Saturday. Sunday, it warms up a little bit. I think it's going to warm up again Monday. But after that, we're going to be on a downhill slide. So that is your forecast for Beaver, Oklahoma. All right, let's check out what else we got going on here. Got this report for the Workforce Modernization Act. Could save millions, or billions, actually, in costs, labor costs for farmers. And Sabrina Halverson for the AgNet Media is going to tell us a little bit about it. Well, maybe she's not. My deal went haywire. Check in. Let me try it one more time. Sorry. Hang on here a second. Nope. It ain't going to work. Well, anyway, I can tell you a little bit about it. How's that? The Farm Workforce Modernization Act awaits Senate action during the lame duck session, and it's the closest meaningful immigration reform has come to the finish line in years. Research on immigration studies shows farmers would save billions over the next few years if the Senate passed this legislation. The Farm Workforce Modernization Act would reduce labor costs for H-2A farms by about $1 billion in the first year and maybe $1.8 billion in the second year, with even greater savings in the years to follow. Obviously, these savings would result in vastly greater productivity on those farms because they would be able to hire a lot more H-2A workers, and that's going to result in a lot more productivity on those farms, he said. Changes by the Department of Labor regarding how it allows state to estimate prevailing wage for H-2A farm workers will result in more prevailing wage surveys. Those surveys aren't happening right now because they have strict statistical requirements that the Department of Labor rule will be removed, forcing the cost of labor to even go higher. So how about that? Anyway, thought I'd bring that up because it is around here. All right. I have an email from somewhere right in here. Here we go. From Harmon County, OSU Extension. The Harmon County Extension Office will be hosting an on-demand, check this out, this stuff's getting cooler at the Extension Office, an on-demand by appointment only meetings for 1 hour CEU credits for private applicators in Category 1A and 10 at a time on your own time starting December 19th through December 30th with office hours from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. with a change to get up to 10 CEUs. This will need to be scheduled on your own time and will be shown in the office as they are pre-recorded. Please feel free to contact Haley Robinson at 580-688-3584 or email her at, and then to set up a time and date. The extension office is located on 320 North Main in Hollis, Oklahoma, and this is for Harmon County farmers needing CEUs for their application. There you go. Pretty cool. You ain't got to go set in a meeting with your neighbor you don't like. I'm just kidding. Anyway, you can set this time up, but it's only between December 19th and December 30th with the OSU Extension Office in Harmon County. You can actually go in there and get up to 10 CEUs for 1 hour credits. So anyway, there you go. Give Haley a call down there at the deal. It'll be great. And so that's, you don't have to go to a big meeting, whether it's morning or afternoon. You can go when you want to, but your time frame is December 19th through December 30th. All right, this is kind of a touchy subject. And if you got any comments, text line is open, 580-225-9697. I don't agree with it 100%, but this come out from OSU, and everybody has their own opinions. When do you top dress? When do you apply nitrogen to wheat? Because wheat is off to the races. It's probably going to get held back here in about 5 days, but the wheat has come along a lot better than I figured it would. But the last USDA National Agriculture Statistics Service Oklahoma's crop progress and condition report for the month of November reported that 95% of the wheat has emerged. This is on par with the five-year average of 94%. The same report rated the crop at only 31% as good or excellent, which did improve from the beginning of November of 14%. While there still isn't much of a fall wheat pasture this year, there still is an opportunity to make a decent grain crop. October and November sown wheat has a hard time getting up and going. October sown wheat likely stayed in the ground until the rain a week before Halloween. This was a saving rain, of course, and we all know that. But it also dropped soil temperatures. The first half of November also brought colder than average air temperatures. The combination of cold rains and air temperatures dropped soil temperatures down into the mid-40s. Ideally, wheat seed needs at least a soil temperature of 54 degrees to germinate. Delayed emerge from drought and now cold soil temperatures can have an impact on potential grain yields. Wheat only needs at least 4 or 5 leaves and 1 or 2 tillers prior to dormancy. In the fields I've been in, most wheat plants are setting a second tiller already. Hopefully more leaves and secondary roots will develop before like next week's cold front. Instead of making plans for heavy top dress nitrogen applications this winter or early spring, it might be wise to wait later in the spring to better estimate grain yield potential. As far as how late can wheat be top dressed with nitrogen, field research, and this is from OSU, this ain't from Jimmy Clark, conducted by OSU the past 4 seasons has shown it might be later than you think. These grain-only trials, this wasn't hay or pasture, nothing like this, have proven that top dress applications made during 100 to or 80 to 100 growing degree days after planting, typically early to mid-March, overwhelmingly yielded the same as early or late winter applications. Wheat quality, particular grain protein, seemed to increase with the later nitrogen applications as well. This doesn't mean to wait until the last minute to top dress, but this supports the extending the window to apply nitrogen. Applying later in the season can increase nitrogen use efficiency as the crop progresses. A better estimation of grain yield can be more accurately determined, and top dress rates can be altered accordingly. If covering large acreages, wheat producers should initiate top dress applications sooner to allow time for to get the job done, especially if weather delays apply. Top dressing tank mix with a herbicide can be an economical option also. Since the sprayer will be using a broadcast nozzle such as a flat spray, urea, ammonia, nitrogen rates should be limited to 10 to 20 gallons per acre depending on conditions. Application should be avoided when air temperatures rise above 70 degrees and the humidity is low. Application should be made prior to joining stage, which will limit yield by loss by allowing more recovery time if crop injury occurs. Disease management has shown to have a good yield savings over the years. If applied timely, most commercially available fungicides have had good yield protection in the OSU field trials. If only one application is budgeted, it's best to apply late and protect the flag leaf. Long-term Oklahoma State University data typically averaged about 10 to 20% higher yield compared to no fungicide. Anyway, there it is. You take that for what it's worth. How's that? Anyway, okay. One of my favorite things of the month. What's a month to do? Overall, tractor sales down. Large equipment market remains strong in November. Sales for combine harvesters and four-wheel drive tractors were up in November despite overall losses in sales compared to last year, according to the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. While the total sales market are down, the sales of larger ag-focused equipment continues to be strong, said Mr. Kurt Blade, Senior Vice President for Product Leadership at the AEM. The overall reduction in numbers is attributed to small tractor sales, which were experiencing unprecedented growth during the pandemic. However, with the efficiency and yield gains in new row crop tractors and harvesters, it's easy to see why those segments continue to grow. Total farm tractor sales for November of this year was down 14.5% from 21 year to date. The AEMA reports 250,688 total farm tractors were sold as of November this year. That's down from 293,000 last year. Tractor sales are broken down by horsepower range as follows. Sales for two-wheel drive sub-40 horsepower tractors in November were down 27.9% from 2021. 8,266 sales were made compared to 11,470 last year. Sales for two-wheel drive 40 to 100 horsepower tractors was down 10.7% with 4,055 sales this year compared to 4,542 last year. Year-to-date, AEM reports 60,969 tractors have been sold in this category, down from 68,000. That's quite a bit, 8,000 tractors different than last year. Sales for two-wheel drive 100 horse plus tractors in November gained 6.2%, 1,278 sales compared to 1,203 last year. Sales for four-wheel drive tractors were up 7.1% in November with 165 sales this year and 154 last year. Year to date, 2,949 tractors have been sold in that category, and that's compared to 3,137 last year. Last but not least, Sales for self-propelled combines were up in November, up 8.3% with 314 combines sold year-to-date compared to 290 last year. Year-to-date, 6,535 combines have been sold in up to November compared to basically same as last year. I mean, identical as last year. I don't know if you guys get on YouTube and search, but I got on there the other night, and there's that one channel, the Big Tractor channel, whatever you call it, and he was over there in western Kentucky. This guy has 11,000 acres of corn. I don't know how many acres of soybeans and tobacco he's got, but he has 11,000 acres of corn. They can sow it in 7 days. He's got at least 8 tractors with 250 to 300 horsepower plus. Drills are all 60 foot wide, or not, yeah, 60 foot wide. There's 36 row, I believe, if I remember right, on 30 inch rows. And they can get 11,000 acres in 7 days. Think about that. And then when they're combining, they got those big 1,000s or whatever John Deere's got, and with those 16 row headers. And they can get some corn done. And they got 4 combines, 4 big tractors with 4 big grain carts. It takes 13 semis to keep up with those 4 combines. I mean, it's just mind-boggling. And then they got 4 million bushel corn storage on that farm. I don't know what all this costs, but unreal. And they if they combine 4 million bushels of corn every year, that's at today's price, it's 26-28 million. But hell, there's got to be at least $10-12 million worth of equipment there, and there's no telling what that storage facility costs. So it's just mind-boggling for this young guy here. So anyway, let's see what Jerry Nine's got to say about what's coming up tomorrow. And then I'll be right back to finish up with your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First out this Thursday, December the 15th. We're expecting 3,000 cattle. We'll start the auction at 8 a.m. From Viceye, got 60 bull and heifer kids of 5. Gate, got 30 steers and heifers of 5 to 6. Camargo, 40 steers and heifers of 5. Davis, got 57 weaned steers and heifers 5 to 7. Albany, Texas, 179 steers and heifers off the cow 5 to 7. Laverne, 50 steers and heifers 5 to 650. Slapout got 159 steers and heifers 4 to 5.5. Sarah got 300 steers and heifers 5 to 7. They're weaned. And Saline, 105 steers and heifers 6 to 7. Good young bred cow market on Tuesday with middle-aged and younger bred cows. Very good demand. Even some of the older cows, no teeth, going back home. We'll see you this Thursday, 8 a.m. sharp. Thanksgiving, Jerry 9 and the Woodford Livestock Auction.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Red Angus is probably most commonly known for the maternal breed. More maternal type cows. A heifer lays down, has a calf. She goes over and gets the calf up instantly, and the calf goes to nursing, and they're very protective of their calves too. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus.
BLRedAngus.com.
You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Speech deprivation is like an accent. If you and your wife moved to Maine and lived there for 5 years and came back and visited everybody, you'd sound like a New Yorker, you know, someone from Boston, because the brain communicates like it hears. If you go long enough without the ability to separate M's and N's, S's and F's, T's and V's, B's and T's, you're going to get an amplified garble until you relearn the differences. Phonetic regression is not a loss of intelligence. It's not a loss of ABCs. It's when the brain loses the ability to separate letters that sound alike. My name is Clint Higginbotham. I'm a certified hearing aid specialist with Caring Hearing Aid Services. Our Elk City location is inside Dr. Perkins' office at 601 West 3rd.
Right across the street from the Country Dove.
The phone number is 821-2299. The Clinton location is about 50 feet north of Mazio's, 1906 Gary Boulevard. The phone number there is 275-2904. Try hearing better and try having more fun.
The leather smells great, and it feels great when you slide them on.
Nothing beats a good pair of boots. So give them for Christmas. The Cherokee has over 7,000 pairs of boots in stock in about 100 different styles. Looking good there is a cinch. In fact, it's Cinch and Ariat. They've got men's and women's Western clothes that carry both brands. They've also got Minnetonka moccasins and beautiful turquoise jewelry. For gifts that'll bring smiles for years, the Cherokee Trading Post and Boot Outlet, just east of Clinton. Exit 71 off I-40, high atop Boot Hill.
Cattlemen's Congress is located in the heart of cattle country and is far more than just a cattle show. Join them December 29th through January 14th to see the newest and most elite genetics North American cattlemen have to offer. Cattlemen's Congress is the gathering place of the cattle industry and offers sales of elite genetics, something for everyone's operation. Join them January 5th for a commercial cattlemen's luncheon from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. For a full schedule, sale info, and everything you need to know, visit cattlemenscongress.com.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, December 9th. For all you great stewards of the land, I'm Drew Cobb. 1,694 head were sold, 12 head of steers at 402 brought 248, 10 at 476 brought 222, 5 at 521 brought 206, 11 at 549 brought 193, 18 at 595 brought 192, 3 at 665 brought 175, 4 at 760 brought 162, 5 head of heifers at 333 brought 198, 4 at 483 brought 165, 7 at 491 brought 173, 10 at 532 brought 172.5, 3 at 552 brought 169, 4 at 570 brought 160, 13 at 689 brought 149.5, butcher cows were 29 to 81, butcher bulls brought 62 to 101, bred cows were 400 to 1575, pairs brought 630 to 1925. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. I'm going to go with Bessie, Oklahoma today. How about that? Today, right now, it is 43 degrees at Bessie with a wind chill at 35. The wind's out of the northwest at 19 miles an hour. Wind gust up to 24. Humidity's at 38. I bet my corn down south is getting a little dry in weather finally. Today, sunny, 47. Tonight, 27. Tomorrow, 45. 24 tomorrow night. 41 for a high Friday. 22 for a low Friday night. 45 Saturday. And then we get mostly cloudy Sunday and 47 degrees. But the wind will finally switch. This is a strong storm up to the north. It's going to keep the wind out of the north-northwest for the next 4 or 5 days. So it's a very strong deal. So there's your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. So welcome up. We'll finish the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour out. We got about 6 or 7 minutes. I got a really special guest coming on Friday. He'll come on for just a little bit. James Bigley. He's out of San Antonio, Texas. He's going to come on. I'm going to have him come on 3 or 4 times and over the next month or two. But he's an expert on ranches, and we're talking about the big ranches, all ranches. But anyway, he's going to come on Friday about 12:30 to talk about the actual Yellowstone Ranch, the Dutton Ranch, and the size of it, and all that other good stuff. Really interesting to listen to. So we're going to talk about the ranches. We're going to talk about the King Ranch. We're going to talk about some ranches in New Mexico over the next month, and the Bristol Ranch, the Briscoe Ranch down in South Texas, and then we got the Wagner Ranch here in Vernon that actually sold out, and you know, it's pretty interesting. And find out, talked about the gentleman. Oh, my brain just went dead. Anyway, there's a guy that owns the Teo Ranch and the Bell Ranch out in New Mexico, also owns the Atlanta Falcons, and he's got all kinds of stuff. Man, he's just an interesting guy. So anyway, we're going to have that come on Friday, so you guys don't want to miss that. Come on about 12:30 there in the third segment. Anyway, all right. Profit Tracker. Packers can't stop the bleeding right now. Beef packers saw per head losses nearly double last week as wholesale beef prices tumbled $7 per hundredweight. The weekly average price for market-ready cattle was slightly lower as packers secured some early week trades at lower money. Prices rose throughout the week, however, as cattle feeders dug in their heels. Average feeding margins were estimated at $180 per head the week ending December 10th as cash prices averaged $156.38 per hundredweight or $16.78 per hundredweight higher than last year. Beef packer margins were estimated at a negative $141 according to the Sterling Beef Profit Tracker. That's the largest weekly packer loss in 7 years. That compares with packer profits of $297 per head the same week last year. How about that? Last week's choice beef cutout averaged $242.50, and that was down $6.85 from the previous week and down $22.42 per hundredweight from last year. Costs associated with finishing cattle have increased dramatically since April. The cattle sold last week earned a total feed cost of $552 per head, which is 14% higher than the $472 feed cost for cattle sold the same period a year ago. The estimated total cost for finishing a steer last week was $2,008 per head. That's up 12% from last year's estimate of $1,764 per head. Cattle slaughter totaled an estimated 652,000 head, about 15,000 head less than the same week last year. Pack and plant capacity was estimated at 90% compared to 89.8% last year. On the hog side, real quickly, saw losses of $1 per head last week, about a 50-cent per head improvement over the previous week, and up $20 per head compared to the $21 per head, up $20 over the $21 last year. How about that? Lean carcass prices averaged $86.13 per hundredweight, and that was down $1.93 from last year. Pork packers saw losses of $6 per head or $2 per head less than the previous week. Last pork packers saw profits of $32 per head. Hog slaughter was estimated at 2.572 million head. That's down 18,000 head from the previous week and down 4,000 head from last year. Lastly, pork packer capacity utilization was estimated at 96.2% compared to 95.7% last year. How about that? Anyway, I guess I know what a lot of you guys are thinking out there. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. I know what you're thinking about. But you know what you can do? You can buy some of that Taylor Ranch beef or from another producer around here. Get it processed local. Not worry about all those numbers. And then you can also sell your cattle to get them after you feed them and stuff and sell them yourself around here. You know, there's all kinds of ways to make a little bit of money going on this deal. U.S. corn being priced out of the export markets. How about that? After they released the World Agriculture Supply and Demand Estimates last week, USDA pegged the U.S. 2022 and 23 ending stocks at 1.257 billion bushels. This is about above both the trade's estimate and of 1.241 million bushels compared to their estimate last month. But the corn, the USDA has pegged the world's corn ending stocks at 298.4 million metric tons versus the trade's expectation at 300.9. So anyway, it's the corn dropped a lot last week, but it's come back up. But everything is going off what's going to happen in Brazil or Argentina. That's how they're. That's what the corn prices are looking like. This month's 22-23 corn outlook is for lower exports also and greater ending stocks. So anyway, not looking too bueno. I haven't talked about cotton in since last Friday, but in its December crop report, the U.S. estimated the 22-23 U.S. cotton crop at 14.24 million bales. That's 210,000 more bales than last year. Southwest it estimated out here where we're at 3.69 million. And there's a lot of cotton yet that needs to be harvested. Okay, we'll see you guys tomorrow. This is Hump Day. Enjoy your day. Stay out of the wind. Wear plenty of clothing. It's The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.